Veronica, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder here for you. We're at 312-981-7200. Call in or text in. We would love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from
people. We would love to hear from people.
I am going to start out the show by saying, let's go, 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 White Sox.
They had a pretty impressive win last night.
Melky, the milkman.
Yes.
Chris Bryant, sorry. Now all of a sudden my love for the Sox, I got
Melky
time.
Cabrera took a home run away from, for
totally.
People who didn't see the game, Melky Cabrera took a home run away from Chris Bryant, and it ended up being a big deal because it was 5-4. It was quite a game. Very exciting game. 1-4.
I know I get a little anxious, but, you know, I'm a fair weather fan sometimes. My love is all hockey now, but...
Right. But it's still nice to see your team take down what has been called the best
rivals.
Team in baseball.
Yes.
I, because I'm a fan of both teams, want this to... This will sound ridiculous, but it's true. I want it to end with the Cubs winning two of the games and the White Sox winning two of the games so it doesn't harm either of them. I want to see I'm the last guy who wants everybody to win. I want a clear cut winner and a clear cut loser, but because I want to see both teams make the postseason, I want it to benefit both teams.
I know, but you are such the non participation trophy guy.
That's the last thing I want is everybody getting an award.
Pick a side.
But last night is like, oh, the Cubs are coming back. If they win, that would be great. And then the White Sox
came
and I
went,
this is fantastic. I know, it was that kind of game. It was a very exciting game. All the way through.
It was pretty exciting, which therefore I did not watch start to finish the Democratic National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw all the highlights, and I have to make fun of myself.
Because why?
When Bernie Sanders was speaking, they showed people in the crowd crying, and I was laughing at them.
You were laughing at the people crying?
Because it's like, come on.
Why were you laughing at
because
them?
It's,
you know why they were crying, obviously. Their guy
isn't in it.
He lost, and they were sad about that. And then did you point and laugh or just laugh?
No, I wasn't even an out loud guffaw or anything. I was just like, come on.
It shouldn't bring tears, should it?
No, but then...
it's not The Notebook.
Well, see, that's what I mean.
If it was The Notebook, I would cry. I would get it and go, that's so sad. Those people were so in love. But this is,
this is
a political campaign. Yeah.
And I was laughing at them. I'm like, look at these people. I know their hearts are broken a little bit, but, you know, Bernie saying vote for Hillary. But then I see, like, some of the highlights and this Anastasia Somoza.
Mm-hmm.
She's an advocate for people with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and she got up there to speak. I was bawling.
You were crying.
Oh, my God.
And the delegates were laughing at you. Now, how do you like it,
they
said.
They were. And then New Jersey Senator Cory Booker gets up and just his pride in America, and I'm crying. And I'm pointing at myself going, hello?
What happened to you?
You just made fun of people for crying.
And you're doing the same. How can that be?
There's something. I cry at weird moments. Whenever I go to a parade, usually the Brookfield 4th of July parade, and the fire trucks are there and the flag comes by,
mm-hmm.
I weep.
Do you really?
I don't know.
Is it Americana? Is that what does it?
I think so. The pride I have for this country.
I understand that. I get that.
Just overcomes me.
All right. Here's what I figured this out last night, and it's taken me so many years to figure this out.
I'm intrigued.
I kept switching back and forth between the baseball game and the convention. I kept going back and forth and back and forth. So every time it goes to the baseball game, I'm in a pretty good mood because my two favorite baseball teams are squaring off and it's a good game and they're both having pretty good seasons. The White Sox need to step it up a little bit, but for the most part, this has been a pretty good year. Cubs are having a great year. I'm enjoying that. And then I turn over to the convention, and I had the same feeling I had last week when I was watching the Republican convention, which is, yikes, that just keeps coming up, yikes. So here's what I finally figured out, and it took me a long time to figure it out, but I did. Conventions are weird because what you have is, and this is a two-part figure out. Conventions are weird because what you have is a bunch of people who all have one great passion in common, which is fine, but it's spread out over several days, and you get a lot of people that are slightly overly passionate. And to illustrate my example, I will tell you that whenever they show a close-up, and this is on the Republican side and the Democratic side, of a man or a woman wearing a straw hat with red, white, and blue Christmas lights that are blinking, and they've got weird badges and pins, and they're doing weird dances with flags, I go, that guy or girl should be in jail. They should not be on television. Look at how weird that human being is doing that.
You know what it is?
Blinky lights.
It's the political Comic-Con.
That's exactly what it is.
It is.
That's what I was going to say. Is here's the two-parter. Conventions are weird and politics is weird. So when you add those two together, how could it not be really weird?
I know. I watch. I look at these people. I make fun of them for crying. Then I cry myself. But I'm just at home watching. I'm not.
But they laugh at stuff that isn't funny. They cry at stuff that isn't sad. They applaud for things that don't deserve to be applauded for because they're lies. They believe in stuff that you go at it for a long time. Do you think what that guy or that girl just said is real? Do you really?
Yes, like, they do.
But isn't that?
It's called passion.
I know.
You and I would never be the type of person to give of our time for any political candidate ever.
If it was, I swear, if it was somebody that I 100% believed in, I would do anything.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't even then?
No.
If you 100% believed in them? I just can't find anybody I come close to 100% believing in. Not even close.
All right. Well, then you should understand it. If there was someone you 100% believed in.
Yeah.
You would be wearing the blinky hat. I'm sorry.
I would never wear a blinky hat. And like I said this last week during the Republican convention, when people just start chanting something, da, 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 da. Sometimes it's USA, USA. Sometimes it's four more years, four more years, four more years. It's three simple one-syllable words that everybody in the group just starts chanting. And it seems like a Nazi rally to me. I know it's the opposite of a Nazi rally, but that's what it feels like to me.
So anything organized where people are saying something in unison, like church, for instance, that's a not like a Nazi rally?
No.
Hitler was very organized.
It's different. Yeah, he was organized, but I think in the long run, he had a lot more problems, don't you think?
Yes.
I don't know. Every time I watch these, I have the same pit in my stomach just going, look at this weird, unbridled enthusiasm for what? You know, and I love the American dream. I love the American dream, but it needs to be more than just a dream. It needs to be real at some point.
Well, that's the goal. And, you know, Jeanette, you want to touch on the crying at rallies. Can you hold your thought for a minute while we take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. We are going to find out about crying at rallies.
All right.
And blinky hats.
I want to hear about those both.
312-981-7200. Jump in if you want. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
We're talking about last night's Democratic convention where Wendy had a crying jag, and it's always better to have one than be one when
you
agree.
What did you call Jimmy Mac?
I don't know. I don't know. Four more years. USA.
They had another thing. I got to find out the little chant they were doing. It was a little different. Jeanette, we were talking about. I was kind of laughing at the people crying when Bernie Sanders was speaking, but then I found myself crying for various reasons. You know a little about this?
Well, I'm a social worker at a high school, and, you know, I've seen it all. I understand emotion, and I try not to, you know, ever weep at work, ever, you know. But when we have pep rallies in the gym, every student is in there, 1,300 students and all the administrators and teachers, and something about the energy as you even walk, as you approach the gym, it's electric. You can feel the positive energy, the roars and the screaming and the happiness. It's hard to explain, but if I look in the crowd, a lot of the teachers have tears in their eyes. I think it's because we're so happy with the obstacles these students have overcome and the things they've accomplished. You know, so again, if I'm seeing a student in my private office for social work and then I'm seeing him on the floor doing a wonderful, you know, task, I'm so proud. And I think it's pride.
It is pride.
Yes. And it's just, but it's like you can cut that with a knife when it's at a rally, like you were saying. I mean, to watch it on television, you can still feel that. But can you imagine those people when they're standing there? How, if you were crying watching it, you know,
being there,
you were there, right?
It would be so overwhelming. I'm not going to make fun of anyone for crying anymore.
Never again.
No.
All right.
I mean, the other teachers and I kind of tease each other, like, "Well, you have your tissue ready?" Because it's a boost of positive feelings. It's always good. It's like I'll leave a pep rally and I'll say, "That's why I work here." You know, this.
Oh, that's perfect. That's excellent.
Oh, it's great.
But now,
it's
if
great.
if I can defend my stance on this, Jeanette, I could see where those things, everything you just mentioned, would elicit tears. It makes perfect sense. But in these political conventions, if I were there, I'd say to myself, boy, I've heard versions of this 4 years ago and 8 years ago and 12 years ago and 16 and 20 and 24. It's all these great promises that just don't come to fruition.
But that's why you wouldn't be there. If you believed the things they're saying, you would be there and you would be overwhelmed. I go to like school assemblies, and even after my kid is done, they don't want you leaving. So you stay at the end and you see the little kids, and I'm crying, and everybody laughs at me. And I said, I'm sorry. It's just a beautiful moment, this togetherness.
There's something. I bet there's a word for it, because there's something to be said for that, and it is pride. So a student I'm sitting with, again, I understand. I have a connection with their obstacles they've had to overcome. And so think about your candidates or people that you're supporting. You see their obstacles you've been through, especially if you're raising money for them and going door to door. You have really been on the front lines with them. So that's probably the tears that they are shedding, and that's why. It's interesting.
Can you explain the blinky hats?
Yeah, what's with the blinky hats?
I don't even know. Yeah, that's a whole other... Right. But just like some teachers at the school assemblies, they have on all this stuff, and they're so full of pride, and I don't. I don't ever... I just wear my uniform every day. I come as a professional. I don't go crazy with school colors and all that, but everyone's different,
That's true. That's the teacher's version of the blinky
hat. Yeah, it's the blinky hats for teachers, right?
You've made sense of it all, Jeanette. Thank you so much. I'm proud of your phone call. I'm going to cry now.
Thank you.
Oh, don't cry. Thanks, Jeanette.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Remember in Office Space, there's a scene where they're convincing Jennifer Aniston that she's got to wear flair. She has to put some flair on. That's the attitude there at these conventions, where they've got vests with Betsy Ross's picture on them, and they've got bolo ties with American flag. I love this country. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But every time they show somebody like that, and I'm watching it on a widescreen TV, and I see that in my living room, I see that guy, and you just go, oh, my God, it's like Uncle Sam was in a speed dryer or something. Look at that guy.
There was a woman, too, and I'm sure there were many, but she had a pretty cool-looking Bernie Sanders shirt on. It was just a white T-shirt.
With his picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she kind of... added flair to it. She kind of cut the crew neck to make it a V-neck.
I bet Chris Sale did that. He probably snuck into the dressing room.
There's his fashion, his moonlighting job. But she cut it so it was kind of more stylish.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there standing there in the sea of people, and she's just doing a selfie of herself, like doing like different pictures and pointing to Bernie's head. It was very funny to me. But these are the people who are, when I go to a Hawks game, I'm totally like that. They're rabid fans, and they believe in what they're hearing.
But
both conventions.
Absolutely, at both conventions. And I can't really compare sports to politics, because that's nearly impossible. But the passion
is
the same. The passion, One is a lot more fun.
Even when you lose, one is fun.
But basically what you're there for two things, I guess, if you're one of these conventions. You're there because you believe in the betterment of America, which I hope we all do. But the other thing really basically is you're there rooting for people whose job it is to determine laws. And that's not that exciting. Sports are exciting. You got goals and baskets and home runs and touchdowns, and that's exciting. But the mere act of politics is not exciting. It's just a bunch of people going, well, House Bill 314 is coming up. Should we stamp it yes or should we stamp it no? It's not that exciting. But for these people, somehow, in ways I don't understand, it is.
It goes back to your team. You're picking your team. You really are. I mean, so many times in the past elections, after you're not supposed to tell people who you vote for, which really, why? Who cares?
Right.
And then afterwards, I remember my mom and stuff would go, oh, yeah, I voted for so-and-so. And it's like, my team won, or I voted for the winner.
It's bragging rights.
Yeah.
It is bragging
rights.
But
that's, you should vote for who you think is going to make America a better place.
Right. You almost said great again.
I did. And I had to stop myself, because this country is great.
I know. I know.
It's already great.
I know. I know it is.
I just want a greater.
That wouldn't be bad. All right. Let's take a quick break and then some news and a lot more show. Glad you're here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Veronica, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. And as I mentioned before, and yesterday and the day before, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. We talk tech later on with Ashley Escada from CNET, But there is a tech story I wanted to bring up with you because I know that you are big into the Pokemon Go game.
I'm not. Can I just say I'm not that big?
Are you not into it anymore?
Well, I am, but I'm only on level 3. I'm kind of just doing it occasionally.
Here's what I heard yesterday. Steve Grzanich, of course, does the news on Steve Cochran's morning show. And I wasn't doubting Steve Grzanich when he said this the news.
During the morning bell.
Do you sometimes doubt him?
I throw things at my radio.
I'm not doubting him, but I heard something that caught my attention. And so after we were done, when I went home, I looked this up to see if this could possibly be true. And as I imagined, it is true, but it seems strange to me. He was talking about how Nintendo shares, and Nintendo has been a formidable company in terms of stock trading for years and years and years, for decades now. All right. So all of a sudden, when this game became popular 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I don't remember which.
July 7th.
July 7th is when the world was changed forever by Pokemon Go. So all of a sudden, Nintendo shares soared because it was so interesting to so many people. And everybody said, wow, this game is so great. I can catch monsters that aren't there. I should invest in this because this is good for America. This is good for business to catch these monsters. So their stock went way up.
Big time.
Then people found out, again, according to Steve Grzanich, and I checked it out, and it's true, people found out that it's not Nintendo behind this, that it's another company behind this, and Nintendo's stock didn't plummet, but went down a great deal.
It did go down a great deal, which I don't understand. See, that's why I don't invest in the market, because I don't know how it works.
It's touchy, isn't it? Wouldn't
yes.
you agree with me? And I don't either. For a long time, I would gamble on sports because I understood that team will probably beat that team by 9 points. I'll throw some money down. But with stocks, you had a bunch of people going,
rhyme or reason.
This game is fun. Let's make their stock go way up. And then those same people went, wait a minute. I thought Nintendo was behind this. Bad. So the stock went down.
Yeah,
I get that.
It is a different company. But Pokemon is a Nintendo thing.
It's
so.
A Nintendo entity, I guess, but somehow they didn't create it. I guess they farmed it out or they farmed it in from some other company, I guess. I don't know how that works. I saw Nintendo's name on it and I went, oh, that's good for Nintendo's business, as a lot of people did. But then once, like everybody at the same time figured out, no, it's not Nintendo behind this. So the stock goes down.
Yeah, I don't get
weird.
That. Although I just caught Rattata and Drowsy while we were sitting here. Kevin, you have them?
Oh my God, they pop up here all the time.
I know.
Rattata and Drowsy from the weekend show? They do the overnight weekend show here?
Yes.
Those guys are great. You caught them? Wendy's.
I caught them in a red and white ball.
Oh no.
Gotcha.
Their families are going to be worried.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was really puzzled by the sore, and then I thought, my oldest son is a Nintendo snob. He does not like to do Xbox or anything else. It's all Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I should buy some stocks, and I'm kind of glad I didn't now.
Well, think about people, and I don't know who has this kind of money, but what if somebody invested heavily, like they saw the stock going up, and they go, well, here's a game that's going to revolutionize everything.
So here's my life savings.
Right, here's everything I've ever earned. I can only win and be rich from this day forward. And then all of a sudden, as America realizes it's not what they thought it was, all that money's gone.
Went down 17% in one day.
In one day. That's huge. Does it say what it went up a couple of weeks ago in a day or two? Because I know it had a huge meteoric rise in a very short span of time. I don't know if it's 17%, though.
I don't have that information, but I do. Nintendo's statement clarified that Pokemon Go is, quote, developed and distributed by Niantic, Inc., which that came out right away.
Because yeah, I thought so, too.
I remember seeing Niantic.
Yeah.
An independent company spun off from Google in August 2015. What isn't the spawn of Google? That's what I'd like to know.
They're involved in a lot of things.
Somewhere along the line, we are a spawn of Google.
Right.
Both Google and Nintendo hold stakes in Niantic. So it is kind of.
It's kind of, but did people sell their stock because they realized Nintendo on their own didn't develop this? And even if they didn't, why would that affect anything?
I don't know. Despite the long-running association of Nintendo with Pokemon, an association which seems to have driven investors' movements, it neither makes nor owns Pokemon Go.
Oh, I'm selling mine then.
But it's involved in it.
Right. You would think that would be enough, wouldn't
and does
you?
Does that matter?
I don't think it does. Who just is looking at their stock certificate and then they find that out and they go, I got to dump this. I can't have this. I thought Nintendo built this.
And
get me Luigi on the phone, Kevin. I want to talk to Luigi.
I'm going to take a call right now. I'm going out for some pasta. That was very good, by the way.
Thank you.
The fact was never hidden by any of the companies involved. Because I remember seeing Niantic. When you download the app, it says Niantic.
Right.
And it has been noted in some reports on Pokemon Go, but the fact seems to have taken investors by surprise. Here's an idea. Do your homework before you invest your life savings in something.
I hope nobody lost, and I'm sure somebody lost a crazy amount of money because of all this yesterday, but that shouldn't be.
I don't get
Imagine somebody going broke just because of this. That's not fair.
It isn't fair. It isn't right. And I just want to ask you if you girls play Pokemon Go.
They do not.
I don't believe you.
They don't. We play other Nintendo games. Like, I keep throwing barrels at them and they have to jump over the barrels. That's a fun game we play at our house.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, we play that. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk to Ashley Escada from CNET. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. In the original Village People, instead of the cop, it was a pierogi chef. And then they had to switch it. Some legal entanglement. I don't understand it.
I am not betting you anymore, but I wish I was, because I would say $10 says Mr. Pierogi's going to join the Village People for that
Wouldn't
appearance.
Wouldn't that be a nice closer? That would be a great closer.
Would. Ashley Escada is here from CNET TV, host of Tomorrow Daily. And how are you, young lady?
I'm good. How are you two?
We're fine. We're upset, Ashley. You know why? Verizon outbid us for Yahoo by $20.
Oh, you know, it was a really close. You know what, though? You can't win them all, can you?
Can't win them all. No, you can't.
Yeah, Verizon bought Yahoo. So or at least they will as soon as everything goes through, approval by shareholders, regulators, things like that. But they announced on Monday, they have been talking about it for a long time. Verizon will buy Yahoo. They're going to pay $4.83 billion in cash, which, again, just $20 more than the $4.8829 billion that you guys offered.
Yep.
It'll include Yahoo Mail. It'll have Fantasy Sports. The photo storage site Flickr, which I think a lot of people don't actually realize is owned by Yahoo, unless they use it all the time. And also Yahoo Search. And then their advertising technology. So they're buying sort of the core Yahoo business that we see here in the States.
Maybe it's just me, but I didn't think Yahoo was so popular anymore. I thought other search, like I always use Google.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahoo, is it worth the money?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think there's been a lot of debate about that. Obviously Yahoo is one of the internet's oldest brands. It was
Yahoo!
Really, really, exactly. Everybody remembers it. So, as long as we were alive to remember it, most of like kids today, I don't know. They're like, I don't know what that is. Yahoo is one of the oldest brands that we remember on the internet. And some would say, you know, obviously that user base, the access to that advertiser information, things like that are very valuable to a company like Verizon, who has actually been, doing not restructuring, so to speak, but, one of the things they did this year was they, sort of sold off its Fios infrastructure in a few states to Frontier. So here in California, I used to have Verizon Fios and now I have Frontier Fios. And then they also took a little bit of a hit in terms of their mobile and wireless business. So they're sort of looking for ways to diversify their portfolio. So in that way, obviously a company like Yahoo would be very valuable to them. But on the flip side of that, like you guys said, yes, Yahoo has been struggling quite a bit recently in the last few years. And so this is kind of it's an interesting buy. And it's Verizon also owns AOL.
They still exist.
It seems like they're kind of running around snatching up 90s internet companies,
yes.
Which is hilarious.
And if anybody's listening and is still paying a monthly fee for AOL, this comes up a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Call them and stop paying. I ran into somebody a few months ago who was like, oh, yeah, I pay the monthly fee. I said, why? It's free now.
Right.
But you don't know that. That was the only way to get online before.
Yep.
So call them and say you want to opt out. And there should be a class action suit. There really should be.
I just got an AOL install disk in the mail yesterday. I'm not even going to use it now. You've talked me out of it.
Yeah, don't use that, Bill.
Don't use it.
It makes a, you know, though, makes a great coaster.
All right, I'll use it as a coaster.
Or a Frisbee.
Very right. retro, very retro coffee table coaster.
Ashley, we just had Comic-Con in San Diego, which is like the biggest comic book show in the world. It's held every year in July. What do we learn from this year's Comic-Con?
Oh my gosh! Well, 130,000 people attended Comic-Con this year, which is a lot, and there were so many different things that we saw. So, one of the things that we saw was obviously we had been talking about Pokemon Go recently. And Pokemon Go is a very big part of the show. Lots of attendees playing Pokemon Go. There were themed pub crawls and things like that. But for me, I thought it was kind of odd, like a kind of in this theme of 1990s kind of making a resurgence here. We saw a bunch of nostalgia at Comic-Con this year, which was, we've seen some throwbacks and reboots and remakes. But for people around my age, Double Dare, they had props from Double Dare. They recreated Double Dare. They had Mark Summers out there.
Oh, I loved that show.
Yeah, they had the idol from Legends of the Hidden Temple. They had Olmec, the big stone face from Legends of the Hidden Temple. There was a sneak peek of the new Power Rangers movie. They're bringing back The Tick to Amazon. So this is like a really big resurgence of 90s, sort of this like 90s, if you were 10 to 15, somewhere in the mid-90s, like this is all for you. And then, but then there were also other things like really big franchises bringing in new stuff. So the Wonder Woman trailer was really the talk of the show.
It was
huge. Yeah, people just absolutely loved it. It was pretty universally acclaimed. People were saying it looks great. The movie looks awesome, which obviously DC is looking for a little bit of a rebound after Batman v Superman sort of got savaged at the box office.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of money, but critically, it wasn't received as well as I think DC and Warner Brothers would have hoped. But there is a lot of good in what we saw from the Wonder Woman trailer, the Justice League trailer, which we got to see a little bit of that movie as well. And we, of course, are going to see Suicide Squad next week. So,
Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, the one with the Joker and Harley Quinn and all the villains of DC. And then we also saw a really great panel for Star Trek, which now has a name. It's called Star Trek Discovery. That's the new TV show that's going to be coming to CBS All Access next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, full disclosure, that CBS is our parent company of CNET. But I am also a big Trekkie, so this is very exciting. And the guy who was the showrunner on Hannibal and Pushing Daisies, Brian Fuller, is going to be heading up this show. So it seems it's going to be a really exciting maybe return to form if you liked The Next Generation. So this, cool. I'm really looking forward to
that
Star Trek.
That looks good. And full disclosure, I'm owned by Nabisco, just so you know, Ashley.
Fair enough. Right.
I liked Star Trek The Next Generation. I thought that was a really good show, and I'm not a Trekkie at all. But
it was great.
The original, of course, is campy and great. But
yeah.
But I like Next Generation. I didn't really do Deep Space Nine or any Voyager. I didn't do any of that.
I think everyone can agree that Captain Picard is one of the most inspiring space captains of all time.
Yes.
So I see where you're going with
yes.
that.
Number one, to yeah. the bridge.
Oh, very good, Wendy. Very, very good. speaking of Nintendo, Ashley, I saw this unit. It's the old Nintendo, but it's about a third of the size of the old one. I guess this is coming out for Christmas. It plays 40 games. It looks really cool. Have you seen this?
Oh, my gosh. This is maybe my favorite thing that I've seen Nintendo do. I will say that I feel like Nintendo should have done this about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But better late than never. I'll take it. This is and actually there's a new, there's two announcements. One of them was a little bit of a surprise this morning. So Nintendo is going to be making a handheld palm-sized NES. It looks just like the old 1980s console.
Yeah.
And it has a full-size controller with it. And it's exactly the width of the actual console. That's how, if you remember the size of an NES controller,
yeah.
That's the width of that little console. It's tiny. And it'll have 30 games loaded onto it. You won't be able to download games from the internet, but it's all of Nintendo's best classics, their first-party titles. So the first Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda 2, Mario, Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, Metroid. I mean, there's all kinds of great, great titles on this, and it's going to be $60.
Oh,
so
wow.
It'll be a really hot holiday item, I'm sure.
When does
year.
That come out? I'm going to order it now so
the
I can...
fall.
Oh, okay.
It'll come out this November, so and it'll be $60 here in the States. And then this morning, Sega Mega Drive or the Genesis, if you remember the Sega Genesis, they're going to make a tiny Sega. They're going to make a tiny Sega, and it's going to have, but it'll be compatible with old Sega Genesis cartridges. So you'll be able to use your old carts that you've had.
Oh, excellent.
Thank God I can play Toad Jam and Earl and Cool Spot once again.
Yep.
The little spot from 7-Up.
Right. I remember that game. Wow.
All right. With this Nintendo, this mini palm-sized Nintendo, are the games preloaded into it?
Yes, they're preloaded, okay. And like I said, there'll be 30 games, and there are some of the classics that Nintendo has had in the past, but you won't be able to download new games to it. So it's one of those things where you're not going to be able to plug your little tiny NES to the, you know, like log into the internet and right. download more games like you would on a Wii U. It's just those 30 games. So it's like a fun little nostalgia bit that if you really miss playing, and they've all been sort of upscaled. So that they look a lot better. You're going to see a lot more. It's obviously the graphics haven't been redone. They've just been cleaned up.
I love Sonic the Hedgehog, and it's very Sonic. My nephew is now in his mid-20s, and for 1 year for Christmas, as an adult, he wanted red Adidas with the white stripes because it was the same kind of shoe that Sonic
sure,
wore.
Sure, of course.
So millennials love their video games.
Yeah, I guess so.
I might be too
we
old.
Do.
That's a lot of good news, Ashley. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great talking to you guys. Talk to you next week.
That's Ashley Escada, senior editor over at CNET TV, host of Tomorrow Daily. Go to CNET.com for all your tech needs. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Perry Farrell, for putting together Lollapalooza. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, I want to bring some data that has come up, which I didn't know about.
Because, what have you got?
Teen drinking goes up at various times of the year during festivals, holiday weekends, mm-hmm. and some of the things listed in this study, St. Paddy's Day weekend.
I would imagine, sure.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend, Pride weekend, Pitchfork. I took my 17-year-old son, Michael, to Pitchfork, and he was a little embarrassed to go with his mom, but mm-hmm. then he realized I took care of the tickets and he was seeing Brian Wilson, so he very quickly shut up. Mm-hmm. I did not see a lot of young kids at Pitchfork. Lollapalooza is going to be a lot different, and that's happening this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
Dr. Nina Alfieri in the studio, an ER doctor at Lurie Children's Hospital. You have co-authored a study on underage drinking, the one that I was speaking of.
Yes.
It is, I know kids are off for the summer. I might have had a drink or two when I was under 21. But
write Wendy's name down.
This isn't a report.
Just write her name down. I would.
But you know, it was like a gradual thing. Like we'd have somebody who had a very terrible fake ID and we'd go get a six pack of beer and we'd have a beer or something.
Right.
Things are changing a little bit. And we were just talking off the air. What are you worried about at Lollapalooza with underage drinking?
So we've seen from the last bunch of years of data that the numbers of children who are hospitalized for alcohol during Lollapalooza have skyrocketed.
Why is that?
So we don't exactly know why, and what we do know is, you know, from 2008 to 2014, there was a dramatic increase. The peak of hospitalizations for kids 13 to 20 was 213 children.
Oh, no.
In that weekend.
That's very high.
I never knew anyone growing up that went to an ER because of drinking. Ever. So what are these kids passing out? Are they drinking too much? What we were talking off the air about, a lot of times these kids haven't had a drink before, mm-hmm. and maybe something is easier to smuggle in, like hard liquor. Mm-hmm. That's a rude awakening to alcohol, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sure is. By the time they come to our emergency room, they are there for a multitude of reasons. I can speak from experience from working in the ER during that time. Some of them come completely inebriated and not knowing their name. Some of them come because of heat-related illness and dehydration, and we know that alcohol is a significant contributor to their symptoms when they come in. Some of the children also are taking pills and drugs they don't know the name of. That really concerns us. Our traditional urine tox screen that we use doesn't pick up many of the drugs that kids are taking these days.
Why is that?
Well, within the last couple of years, there has just been an enormous increase in different drugs that people are making. Synthetic marijuana, ecstasy, synthetic, all kinds of synthetic drugs that our drug screen just doesn't pick up right now. So we test for what we can test for, but we look at the patient, we treat them, and sometimes it can be scary as a physician not knowing what they took.
Yeah.
Right. And they can't answer those questions because they don't know what they took.
Do they bring themselves in? Does a friend bring them in? I'm sure you have some that are unconscious as well.
Yeah, often, you know, at Lollapalooza, there are personnel that walk around that identify children and adults that are that inebriated, and they call ambulances to bring them in. That's the most common situation. There are kids who are found down in the grass. We don't know what happened to them. They get picked up and brought in. Some of the kids are accompanied by friends. It's very rare that they're ever accompanied by a parent.
But yeah, sure. I would imagine.
Yeah. So it really is. It's the perfect storm of all the elements working against the kid at the same exact time. Like you said, it's heat because you're out all day. It's it's dehydration. It's the fact that they've been drinking and possibly doing drugs. It's everything at once.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to sound like a grandma right now.
Here we go.
Right. Like I said, I may have partaken in underage drinking when I was a youngster.
Grandma.
Shut up. But it was like beer, it was Mad Dog, it was
the official drink of grandma's Boone's everywhere.
Farm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we never did pills. It's like all of a sudden the 60s have come back. There wasn't, I mean, I didn't know people doing pills. Yeah, a few people smoked weed, whatever. But it's, I just find it astounding that a kid is going to get a pill from somebody and go, oh, yeah, let me try that. I mean, it
but
can
that
kill
happens
you.
All the time, doesn't it?
What has happened to me? I'm like an old lady.
Yeah, it's scary. And part of it is the culture of being at a festival. You see people around you, and when you're with kids and someone hands you a pill, you know, the parent, we as physicians really feel strongly our number one partners are parents. And so we are reaching out to parents to educate their children before this happens to say no and to realize what a big health risk it is to partake in any of that. You know, these kids are 13 to 20. They're not even old enough to legally drink. And, you know, in general, it's really, really important for parents to meet with their kids and just say, do not take anything from anyone ever.
Yeah, most importantly, you know, even if you get a joint from someone, if you don't know that person,
that's
you don't
a marijuana cigarette for people listening. Wendy's speaking the street lingo. Wendy's working on the street lingo.
But
I'll
this
translate.
Is what's scary. You don't, if you don't know the person you're getting that joint from, you don't know what's in it. And you mentioned synthetic marijuana. That can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't realize this. I mean, these things they take, it could be the last thing they ever take and the last Lala they've ever gone to.
So why isn't that more evident? Maybe we're adults, so we get it. But if you're a kid, how do you not know that just one wrong move and that could be your last one?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of these kids are, you know, high school students that are going for the first time. And I think they may not even know what they're about to be exposed to. And so that's our goal in advocating to educate people and let them know that this is happening at Lollapalooza. Like I've said before, I'm a big fan of Lollapalooza. I love music festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going this year.
Oh.
Who are you going to see?
Who's Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, but, you know it'd be bad if you got drunk there, right? You understand that that would be bad.
She's an adult.
All right, go ahead. Get drunk.
But either way, you know, our whole goal with all of this is not to say not to go to festivals. We want festivals to be a safe place for children, and we can do that. We just, the number of children who are hospitalized for intoxication should be zero.
It should be. Does the festival work with you or with medicine in general at all to get the message out? Are they doing anything to help?
So actually for, you know, this year, as a result of the project that we did, we actually had a meeting with a lot of key people in Chicago, including the mayor's office, the health department, folks, security guards, the head of the police folks. There are a lot of people who are interested in helping these kids.
Good.
And none of us want to see Lollapalooza ending or anything like that. But there are people who, you know, everybody feels strongly that children should not be in danger.
Yep.
So there are a lot of efforts happening at Lollapalooza itself. You know, they check people who buy alcohol. They check purses. They check people when they come in. There are folks that are going to be walking around Lollapalooza who are, you know, not necessarily security guards, but kind of
Narcs, Bill. They're narcs.
Are they narcs?
No. Yeah. No? they're there as kind of advocates to like help identify these kids and bring them to medical tents. So there are a lot of folks who are trying to help us. And
good.
This is a really big effort on the part of the city and our hospital. I'm here because I want parents to be a part of it too.
Good.
Dr. Nina Alfieri here, an ER doctor at Lurie Children's Hospital. You co-authored the study on underage drinking, and something we did say off the air was a lot of times these kids, these young kids who go to Lollapalooza have not had any alcoholic beverages before, and it's easier to sneak in maybe a little pint of vodka or something, and that's I know we covered that, but the first drink they ever had, it's something so hard, that's not good for them.
Yeah. So, you know, I will say I looked at the numbers of the children. I don't have all, you know, we don't have interviews with kids as part of our study to find out how they got the alcohol, but a lot of these children are coming in with risky single occasion drinking, so binge drinking. A lot of them are first-time drinkers. A lot of them are so young, they've never been exposed to that much alcohol before. Nor should they have been.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to buy beer at Lollapalooza. So a lot of these children we're finding, from anecdotal experience, kids come in with a hole cut in the inside lining of their purse with vodka in there. So it's the hard alcohol, it's the heat, it's everything. But it's the exposure to strong alcohol in the heat and
not a good mix.
Not a good mix.
Doesn't play out well.
And Lurie Children's Hospital is doing kind of like a drunk drill in preparation for this. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. Dr. Nina Alfieri, ER doc at Lurie's Children's Hospital. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, Dr. Nina Alfieri in the studio with us, who we have found out is you're a general pediatrician.
Yes.
And you work in the ER as well? Or
I
you
do.
Don't?
I'm one of the chief residents over at Lurie Children's Hospital. And I just finished residency. I've rotated kind of all over the hospital.
Great. Congratulations. That's
Thank
great.
You.
And you're doing something pretty special that I thought was fascinating, drunk drills. I know that there's been terror drills and things that have gone on in the city before.
Mm-hmm.
And now Lurie's is going to run drunk drills in preparation for Lollapalooza. Tell us what this entails.
So we do simulations, especially, you know, the ER faculty and other faculty at Lurie Children's Hospital, we do simulations that are basically cases that prepare residents and nurses and physicians and staff to deal with certain medical emergencies or medical situations. So this year, because of the sheer volume of children we're seeing the last couple of years, our hospital is taking a proactive approach. We are doing simulations to kind of prepare everybody for handling these kids this weekend who come in. So,
did you have someone who pretended to be drunk?
We did. We had actually one of our simulation kids star simulation interns this past week. She's actually the daughter of one of the ER physicians.
Oh.
She is an excellent actress, and she pretended to be drunk.
Yeah.
She's going to Yale next year for college. So, but she helped us. We wheeled her into the room, and it was actually kind of scary to think how realistic that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you see a patient come in ER, obviously you want to save them, but when it's a young kid, I mean, don't you want to work even extra special hard to take care of these kids?
Absolutely.
I know this shouldn't be an important part of it, but it kind of is. If a kid comes in and they're drunk like this, does anyone press charges against that kid somehow for underage drinking, or does that not happen?
So we personally don't. I, as a physician, care the most about their health.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we want to stabilize them, make them healthy, and a big part of our job is educating the parents.
Right.
I mean, the child typically is not in a state to learn at that point. But
there's no police report filed or anything like that?
Not that I know of.
No? Okay.
Yeah, and I think no one would take a friend in if that would be the case.
Well, we want people to bring people. We want people to bring children to medical care.
Sure.
So,
when they need it, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody texted Wendy and Bill. I passed out in the picture line at my prom.
Mm.
Biggest lesson ever. Thank God for the fast acting faculty and the hospital. Now I sound like you, Wendy. My sister used me in the pre-prom speech for her kids. Don't do what Auntie Debbie did.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what happens. And, you know, peer pressure, I guess I do understand that. And are there tips that parents can do? You shouldn't not talk about alcohol. You should actually open up the conversation. What can parents do to help their kids who are going to Lala? Mm-hmm.
So as Dr. Karen Sheehan had noted in one of our other releases, parents are very impactful on their children. We have studies that show that parents who teach their children about their health, children listen to their parents, even if it doesn't look like it. So we want everybody, and this, you know, Lollapalooza is this weekend, but this is I looked at the numbers for every single weekend. There are way too many children being hospitalized for alcohol, which means there's even more children who are drinking alcohol. Parents need to talk to their kids about being safe, about saying no, and about the dangers associated with drinking alcohol.
You brought up binge drinking before, and I'm curious. I saw a study about 3 or 4 months ago. I always assumed incorrectly that binge drinking was mostly a male thing, but the numbers for women keep going up and up and up for women. Is there a reason? Why would that be?
So it's a problem across both sexes.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have exact numbers. In my particular study, we saw that males and females, there was a slight female predominance in the amount of people that get hospitalized. But
yeah,
women are smaller. It takes less alcohol to intoxicate women compared to men.
Right.
In my particular study, women, the 16, 18-year-old females were hospitalized more often. But
wow,
it's a problem across both sexes.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, when you're taking care of the kids and 4 o'clock comes,
maybe,
you know, you need a little dangling carrot or a lime with your vodka and tonic. But again, as an adult, you can make those decisions. These are kids who aren't ready to be making these decisions. Lurie Children's Hospital, Dr. Nina Alfieri, is there a website we can go to find out more information on this?
So if you go to our main website, we have press releases and we have infographics to kind of educate about underage binge drinking.
My mom was not a very big drinker. We had like a couple bottles of liquor in the liquor cabinet that were probably 30 years old.
Oh.
The Bailey's had solidified. She had kept it there
right,
so long. But I know
Bailey's in Lint is a great drink for adults, for
kids
responsible adults.
Are getting into their parents' liquor cabinet. I recall the time I went to a ZZ Top Outlaws show and took some vodka in a Mr. Clean bottle, which was really stupid.
Yeah.
Because like it didn't look weird that I was drinking out of a Mr. Clean bottle.
Sure.
Some
who would suspect?
Arrested me just for that. But as I went to Pitchfork, I was telling you off the air, I have never had my purse searched so much before. Typically, they'll go through it. They'll look through it pretty quickly. They pulled out my makeup case and said, could you open that for me? They pulled out my wallet. Could you open that for me? And they really went through it because kids are hiding it in inner linings of their purse.
Yeah.
People at Lala are going to check for that, correct? So
yes,
don't even attempt to do it.
Yeah, they'll be checking.
Nina, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks,
it's a serious problem,
me,
and we hope to do some good here. Again,
I hope you're not crowded over the weekend.
No,
we hope so too.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
I hope so,
Dr.
too.
Dr. Nina Alfieri from Lurie's Children's Hospital. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's going on in the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy, and you already know your names, and we're 312-981-7200. So why not call in or text us?
I would appreciate that.
It'd be nice.
Who was the romper room woman who looked through the...
Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Did she ever say Bill? Because that was a pretty common name.
I don't remember her ever saying my name. She would hold up the romper stomper bumper boo thing, and she would say all the kids that she saw.
Only
and,
you, Bill.
And she would mention every kid's name but mine. And I would jump up and down and wave and go, I'm here, Miss Elizabeth.
She didn't say Kim either.
She wouldn't say your name either.
Those are...
It's frustrating.
Listen, Bill is a pretty common name. I find it shocking.
A lot of people have that name.
She never said Wendy.
That's rude because we were watching the show and wanted to be recognized, and she would mention a lot of my friends' names, and I'm sure a lot of Kim's friends' names and your friends' names, but would it kill her to just look up for a second and see her? She was a bad doobie or whatever they called them on the show.
Do be a doobie, don't
right,
be a don't be. Was it a don't be? Was it Aunt B?
I don't think they would say, I don't think they would close it off with, like, be a good B. They would say, do be a, and then they would say something good that you could do. Don't be a, and then they would say something bad.
You'll
that
be
you
pants.
Could, they, well, they couldn't say that in the 60s. They would lose their FCC license if they said that back then. But Miss Elizabeth, it was very frustrating because I'd be very animated in front of the screen to make sure she would see me, and she'd hold that wand up, and I'm sure she saw me, but she wouldn't recognize me. She would not say my name. And then I'd turn on, and then I'd turn on Ray Rayner, and he would announce, like during a snowy day, he would announce that every school is closed except for St. Damien's School in Oak Forest, Illinois. And I'd go, what are the odds of that? That's my school.
I thought you were going to say, he said every school is closed except for Bill's school. So the good news was,
they said my name.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that seemed wrong to me.
Can I talk Mila Kunis for a minute?
If we have to.
I love her.
She's very pretty.
I just love her whole thing. I loved her on that 70s show.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on the James Corden show. Have you heard her quote?
Mm-mm.
He's doing this thing. First of all, I am so jealous of his career.
James Corden's? Are you? Yeah.
He sings with people.
Yes, he does.
I like to sing.
Yeah.
I like karaoke or karaoke or whatever he calls it. And now he had Mila Kunis and Christina Applegate on during Monday night's episode of The Late Late Show.
They're in a movie together. You know that, right? Bad Moms or Bad Mothers? Is that what it's called?
Oh, I should have been.
Bad Moms.
Bad Moms.
Well, it's a game.
Not affiliated with Bad Teachers, Bad Santa, Horrible Bosses, or any of the other movies where they just take a profession and they stamp bad on it. This is separate.
Bad Santa is one of my favorite movies, I got to tell
you. Sequel's coming.
It's really dark and dirty, but I really liked it. Well, another reason I'm jealous of James Corden, he does this new game, Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts.
What is that? I've not seen that.
It's a gross-out game, kind of like, what was that show where you had to eat bugs and weird things?
Survivor?
Oh, yeah. How would I not know that? It involved a revolving wheel of nasty foods and liquids like clam juice, soy sauce and mayonnaise, calf brains, cow's tongue. And if the person didn't want to answer their question, they had to eat or drink some of those things.
Oh, no. That doesn't sound good at all.
The Bad Mom star bypassed the clam juice. Oh, wait. So Mila Kunis was asked this question about her husband, right? They're married.
Ashton Kutcher. Yeah.
And it involves...
You can say it in front of me.
Below the belt.
Oh, all right.
And he just said to her, carrot stick or beer can? And she
I might need a minute to think about that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. I'm still not sure I understand that, but I'll keep going.
It involves girth.
Oh, all right. Now I got it. I got you now.
God, how old are you?
I'll be 7 in November.
Carrot stick or beer can? The Bad Mom star bypassed the clam juice that was offered to her and said carrot stick, but she was confused by the options, thinking a beer can was short and stubby.
See, that's what the problem I was having, was the visualization of it all.
And so she then changed her answer and said, you know, he's like a Guinness.
All right.
So there were a few softball questions after that. That was the big one.
Wait, that was not a softball question? Was that a hard-hitting question? Did she steal
that
from Charlie Rose?
Well, that was a little personal. The other stuff was kind of just...
Fun, light.
Yeah.
Okay.
A few softball questions after that. Kunis was forced to eat a cow's tongue.
Oh, no.
And here's the question, which I think you would appreciate.
Yeah.
She was asked what her box office flop, Jupiter Ascending, was... what it was about and why she chose to do it.
That's a great question.
So she just ate the tongue.
That's a great question.
She started by saying, oh, well, and then she just ate the tongue. And then they asked Christina Applegate, I don't know, she had to eat like this mayonnaise soy sauce mixture. And
do they always do? I've never seen them do that before.
That's why I'm jealous of him. He gets to do all these fun games with celebrities.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do it, but I can't get any
celebrities. You just want famous people to come in and eat bad things.
Well, it's funny.
I know. It is,
you know?
Kind of,
and
I
the
guess.
Karaoke thing, Michelle Obama with Missy Misdemeanor Elliott
was
amazing.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so jealous of his job. They asked Christina Applegate, James Corden did, tell us why you hate Mila Kunis. So Mila was like, listen, you got to be good. We're doing this promotional tour together.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina Applegate says, you know, because she has beautiful eyes.
Oh.
And James Corden goes, what are you trying to hit on her? Tell us some dirt. And it's like, no, she's just too pretty.
Yeah.
And Christine Applegate's really pretty, so why would she be jealous of that?
But now I don't know. I'm so behind the times. Bad Moms, I don't know anything about it.
I think it comes out sometime in August, and I don't know much about it, but it's like all those other movies that I mentioned, where, like Bad Teachers and Bad Santa and Horrible Bosses.
I only know Bad Santa. Are there really other movies called that?
There is another Bad Santa movie coming out. It was just finished.
With Billy Bob?
Yeah, yeah. With most of the original cast.
Do you have the uncut one?
No.
I do. I have the unedited one.
Oh, I do actually.
It's called Bad Santa.
Yeah, or Badder Santa or something like that. I think I do have that one. But it's not dramatically different from the original.
No.
You're not going to... Yeah, there's not much difference. But I want to say it comes out in the middle of next month. It looks pretty good.
Kristen Bell's in it.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know anything about it, but now I want to see it. When three overworked and underappreciated moms are pushed beyond their limits, Bill, they ditch their conventional responsibilities for a jolt of long overdue freedom, fun, and comedic self-indulgence.
Does hilarity ensue?
I'm sure it does.
If it does, I'll see it. If it doesn't, then I'm staying away.
Party like a mother.
Oh.
Bad Moms. I got to see this.
This is written for you.
It is written for me.
They put this movie together for you.
Watch James Corden because he has fun jobs he gets to do.
Oh, yeah. He's great. All right. A quick break. More show coming your way. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, let's go to the world of real estate for just a second. They are tearing down one of Chicago's most beloved structures. Mm. What are they tearing down? This started yesterday. One of, I would say over the last couple of decades, one of our most important structures, and I'll explain myself in a little bit. As of yesterday, they are tearing it down. It'll be no more. What is it?
It's a theater.
It is not a theater.
I know what it is, but I can't remember.
What is it? What could it be?
I can't remember.
There's prizes. Look at all the prizes.
You have nothing.
I know, but we're pretending.
Oh, do you want listeners to jump in?
No, because somebody will know. Everyone, I think most people will know this. It's made the news a little bit, but I just saw pictures of it in today's paper, and it's very upsetting. Harpo Studios being torn down. Here's a picture. I'll hold it up to the mic so everyone can see it. Harpo Studios will be no more. That's as of yesterday. Destruction started yesterday.
Who's coming in there again?
What are they putting
McDonald's.
In there?
Yeah, McDonald's.
Yeah,
they're moving
headquarters.
From Oak Brook to...
I'm sorry. It's very upsetting.
What's upsetting is it's a waste. Why does it have to be torn down? Can't they just move
They tried doing other production there.
What, the Hamburglar wouldn't fit?
No, Hamburglar would fit. They've tried putting other things there, but it was built with a specific purpose of being a giant TV studio. And it's really hard to get away from that. I don't know if you'll remember because the show didn't last long, but Rosie O'Donnell did a show from there for only a couple of months, not long at all. They hoped that would keep things going there, but it didn't. And they've done a couple of other TV productions in there, but nothing as sustainable as Oprah's show. But the reason I said that it's one of Chicago's most important structures or was is that I can't think of a time where one single building revitalized an area the way Harpo Studios did. Before Harpo was there, I knew that area fairly well. There was little to nothing there, and nobody was interested in buying into that area.
You're right.
As soon as they put that up, businesses sprung up all over the place. Restaurants, shops, bicycle shops, clothing stores, everything. It was a very, very big deal for a long time.
That's what Oprah does. She breathes life into everything.
That's what Oprah does.
I'm embarrassed to admit something on the air.
Go on.
I love Oprah. I'm not embarrassed to admit that. I love her. Yeah. But I haven't watched her shows in quite some time.
On the OWN network?
Even when she had her show, she became very spiritual and very different from what she did. And I didn't have a problem with it. I just didn't tune in on a regular basis. But I love Oprah.
Then you'll be happy to find out that she is on this month's cover of O Magazine.
That's what I have to confess. There was a Groupon for $5 for any kind of magazines.
Yeah.
I can show you the email. I just subscribed to the O Magazine. I'm going to show you the cover every month because I bet she'll be on it at least two out of the 12.
I know she's Oprah, and she is the maker of all things laws about Oprah. How do you say to your publishing company, let's do a magazine, and then I will be on the cover every month?
Because I think only she gave it up once to Michelle Obama and maybe Ellen.
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, otherwise she's on it every month.
Every month.
And why shouldn't she be? Rachel Ray's on her magazine.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I would, a woman's on woman's day. No, actually, it's usually food.
But usually, if you have a magazine, there's always a meeting of what's pertinent to that month's magazine. And then does she show up to that meeting every month and go, yeah, 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 we got that and we got that. But I could be on there wearing a dress and everybody goes, yeah, let's. We haven't done that in about 30 days. Let's
you didn't
do that.
See her in the Santa Claus costume for the December
issue? I did see that, actually.
Oh, are you a subscriber as well, Kim? It
oh,
sounds
yes,
like
I have
it.
Been for
I did
years.
See that.
I have never done it. I finally did it. For $5 for the
Why
year.
Not?
Why not? I actually bought it, I will say. I bought it a couple times to read on an airplane.
It's a good magazine.
Yeah, it is.
It's very informative, but it's
interesting articles, just like Playboy.
But it is, well, not just
are there
like,
naked pictures of Oprah in there?
Oh, my goodness.
I'd look at her. I would. I'd love her.
You love her that much?
I do.
Stedman was sitting by Bill Clinton last night. Did you
he
see that?
Was
yeah,
he there?
There was a picture, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Why wasn't O there?
She was posing for the cover of her magazine.
Maybe you know, she's waiting to come on Wednesday or Thursday
oh,
when it gets a little better.
That could be it.
If she's throwing her support behind Hillary Clinton.
And you know she is. There's not even a speck of doubt there, right?
I love Oprah. There, I said it. Do you know how many times we've tried to get her on the air because of my love for her?
And it never pans out, and I don't know why. Because
I have no
she
ill
likes,
will towards her
she
at
enjoys
all.
The media quite
I know.
A bit.
We've tried for when we worked at various other radio stations.
Right, right. Do you know I was a guest on her show once?
I like you more.
I was a guest on Oprah Winfrey's show once.
What was the topic?
The topic was it was April Fool's Day, so they had a bunch of young comics on to entertain Oprah. And if we did, we could live. The ones that did not make Oprah laugh, a giant pit
off
opened and they fell
oh, okay.
into an abyss, never to be seen again. I lost some of my best friends that day. I was dressed as a court jester with Gail King on my shirt.
I love
no,
Oprah.
it was such a cool day. And she,
was she nice
I
to
have
you?
To say this. Yeah, she was really nice. She was incredibly nice to everybody. And, you know, I went there going, I don't know if I even want to do this. This is going to be weird.
It's Oprah.
But she was so nice to everybody and far exceeded my expectations.
I knew people that worked, an old neighbor of mine from Brookfield worked with her, may still work with her somehow, but she was said to be just amazingly nice. Mm-hmm. She would take them on vacations to Hawaii, like their whole family. They'd
right.
go as like a team building thing.
Right.
And she, I love Oprah.
She's very generous.
And I don't even want a trip to, I'd go to Hawaii with her.
Yeah.
We could go shopping and get our nails done together.
Yeah.
I have a bit of a crush on her. I just love Oprah, so I think it's funny that it took me all these years to finally subscribe to O Magazine.
When
for
she,
$5 because of a
$5.
Will you bring it to me when you're done?
Yes.
That's fair.
And then you initial it and you can leave it to Judy.
Okay,
that's
perfect.
What you do with magazines.
When her show started, she replaced AM Chicago.
Yeah.
And they brought her in, and I watched the first couple shows, and I remember saying to my brother, who watched it with me, well, this will never work. This is not meant to be.
Really? I thought it was magical because she was just herself.
The first couple of weeks, I don't know what it was. It just didn't seem to be. And I mean, anytime something's new, they haven't quite figured it out yet. So maybe they were still kind of looking for a direction. But I thought, I don't see this working. And then they changed the name to the Oprah Winfrey
yeah.
Show. I don't think they called it AM Chicago when she hosted it at first, but they called it something else. But it wasn't the Oprah Winfrey Show.
No, it wasn't.
That happened maybe a year in or something.
And was it a replacement for Phil Donahue?
No, it was no, because Phil Donahue was on Channel 9 then.
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
was
yeah,
on Channel
yeah, yeah.
7.
I just loved her. She was just so genuine and at the start a little unpolished, and that's kind of what I liked about her. She seemed...
right.
You know, like just, oh, we're going to have some fun and figure it out.
The show that I decided that it wasn't going to last, all of her guests were Michael Jackson impersonators. And she was like, they were teaching her how to be a Michael Jackson impersonator. And I just went, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, but that particular show won the hearts of everyone.
I know, it
because
did.
It was like she wasn't afraid to be embarrassed.
I know. No,
that's
you're
what
right.
made it so magical.
You're right.
The magic of Oprah.
It's the magic
and now
of
I'm
Oprah.
A subscriber.
For $5.
I know, I feel guilty.
Get a car at the end?
I feel very guilty saying that because it's worth the full price, but it's
sure
like it
is.
Took a Groupon for $5 for me to finally get the magazine of my true love.
It worked.
I know.
It eventually paid off. All right, we have to take a break. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ruse to some extent, but he said that they were putting that in front of winning. You know, that
oh my God.
It wasn't as important to them to win and be comfortable.
Really? Should they put the business sense in front of signing his paycheck?
That's a good question. He also, for a guy that was apologizing, pinned this squarely on Robin Ventura. He said it was his fault that he could have stopped this, but then he would go, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry about this. I didn't mean to shake anybody up, but it's Robin Ventura's fault, and he pointed to Robin Ventura.
See, that is so babyish. Honestly, this is like Little League.
Yeah,
in his mind.
But then he went on to say he doesn't want to be traded, like, because people are going, well, you're doing this because you want to leave town, right? You want to give him a reason to unload you. And he said, no, I want to stay. I want to be a White Sox
player. That's why he's doing it. And this is what I asked you yesterday, because if some other managerial team looks at that and says, boy, he's insubordinate, we don't want him, doesn't it save his place here?
I think it does make him look to other teams like,
he's a loose cannon, we don't want him. Although he is a great pitcher.
I think the other teams look at him as, he's a loose cannon and we do want him. I know we talked about this yesterday, but the Cubs just picked up a guy, Chapman, who you could also say, I mean, honestly, what he has done is worse than cutting up some uniforms.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's a little trigger happy.
I know. And, you know, it's unfortunate that athletes are role models for kids because really they're just in it to do their job.
Right.
And play baseball.
Right. Right.
His character may not be great, but you know what? That's not what he's doing on the field.
I know.
Unless he whips out a gun on the field.
Well, that would be something. But I think it does. The message it sends to other teams is, here's a really talented guy, a little quirky.
Right.
You know, I would lock up the uniforms. If he gets traded, I would make sure that somebody has a padlock on the uniform vault.
That'd be a good idea. And speaking of that, 219 says, keep that nice jersey that you're wearing away from Chris Sale because I don't want it cut.
He would shred it.
And 773, as a Sox fan, does Wendy have a mullet, tattoos, and a crazed look in her eyes? Pretty much.
Yes, she does.
I only have one tattoo.
For the record, yes.
All right. Sox fan.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You know, we have been selfish, you and me. We have been very selfish. We've been talking about the political conventions, and we've been talking about the Cubs versus the White Sox, and we have not discussed the most important story in the country right now. And that is that Taylor Swift's squad is revolting against her. Did you know this?
I like Tay Tay.
You like who now?
Taylor Swift. Tay Tay.
Is that what people call her?
I don't know.
Tay Tay?
Just kind of said that.
All right.
I think she's great, and I didn't want to like her, but she's really talented.
She makes you like her, doesn't she?
She does.
Yep.
What's going on now?
She's very talented. She's a great singer and dancer and performer.
Easy on the eyes?
She's easy on the eyes. She's got that revolving door on her house where boyfriends come in and out really quickly. In and out, in and out. They're
at least
in the
she
house,
has songs.
Out of the house. Well, her, you know, she's got a squad. I don't know if you know this. She's got a squad of friends, loyal friends, that you thought would stick by her through thick and thin. And now there's reports on MSN that squad is revolting against her, Wendy, and it's a sad story. I will read it to you. Selena Gomez, I'll act it out for you.
All right.
Selena Gomez and others, it says here, this is again according to MSN, which is on the internet, are turning against Taylor Swift.
But for why?
Well, it's more involved. You can't just put it on one thing. These are reports in Touch magazine that lead them to know this. It also notes that the Bad Blood singer's squad has started, as I mentioned, a revolt.
What does that even mean?
Well, it's similar to the coup in Turkey.
Don't say that
we saw earlier.
So not.
Couple of weeks. It's similar, though. Swift is called a liar on the cover of the magazine. And inside its pages, not only is her current feud with Kim Kardashian examined, but the publication rehashes her clashes with Katy Perry, Demi Lovato, John Mayer, and Calvin Harris. She's, for a girl as lovable as she is, she's got quite an enemies list. Only two of those people are enemies with me.
Are you going to tell us which ones, or do we have to guess?
It's nobody's business but my own, and I hope to mend some fences in the next few weeks. The publication, again, In Touch, writes, they use the hashtag Squad Revolt because that gets people's attention. Because if I was doing something and I saw that, I would stop whatever I was doing. If I was driving somewhere and I saw that on my beeper, I would stop.
Your beeper.
Why is that funny? I named my beeper Justin, by the way. Taylor Swift's perfect image crumbles as enemies, execs, and even her A-list friends reveal the truth about her secrets and her lies.
What has she done?
I don't think she doesn't look like somebody who could have secrets and lies going.
Everybody has secrets and lies, Bill.
I guess so.
Even you.
I do. I have some. The magazine then quotes an insider, and Wendy, I got to tell you, because I've read over a dozen stories over the years about celebrities, and anytime they talk to an insider, you know it's real. Because insiders wouldn't give out fake information. If you were an insider and you wanted to keep being an insider, you better tell the truth, or they will no longer quote you as an insider.
Never trust an insider. That's
they
all never, I
they
have
don't
to
mention
say.
Who it is. They like, I would believe it a little bit more if they would say, said Gary, and then I'd go, oh, Gary. He spilled the beans on Taylor Swift. The magazine quotes an insider saying some of her squad are talking about how relieved they are that the real Taylor is finally being exposed. It's serious. It's getting serious.
Does Hiddleston have anything to do with this?
I think there's some Hiddleston jealousy, don't you? I think some of her squad is a little upset that she and Hiddleston are as close as they are. That's my theory. I was up all night thinking about that.
I believe you.
The same source, again, that's an insider for people who are doing a college report on this. The same source adds that Gomez, that's probably Selena Gomez and not the father from the Addams Family, is privately trashing Swift. Yeah, see, why would Gomez Adams say anything bad about Swift? That's ridiculous. Because she recently found out some pretty, and this is in quotes, some pretty horrible stuff that Taylor has said about her, including about her weight and her choice of boyfriends. Now, Taylor Swift is in her mid to late 20s at this point, isn't she?
Yes.
Because if I just told you that, if I told you there was some sort of a rift between friends and it's because one said something about her weight and her choice of boyfriends, you would go, are they in fifth grade or sixth grade? You wouldn't go, these are girls in their mid to late 20s.
Yeah, but they're Hollywood girls.
I guess that's a different breed.
Yeah.
Right? A slightly different breed.
You're a Hollywood boy. I mean, I am a Hollywood. These little spats every once in a while.
I'll fight with the guys.
With your squad.
With my squad.
Who's in your squad, Bill?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
And Howdy Doody. That's my squad.
What are your squad goals?
I got to get just to have fun. We just want to have fun. That's all. It's not a lot to ask. All right. Well, I hope people are as sick of this as I am, because this is just sickening. This is sick.
I thought it was Kendall Jenner that split the squad.
Did she get in the way of the squad?
I thought Taylor said something about Kendall, and now the squad doesn't know
which side to
take. Yeah, that's what I thought the revolt was.
I hope not. I just want these kids to get along, Wendy.
I just want them to go away.
Maybe they will eventually.
All right,
well. Now, I just want to say one more thing, and then we'll go to news. It says here in the same story in In Touch magazine that at some point, Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez were considering doing a remake of Laverne and Shirley.
What?
How about that? Wouldn't that be something to see?
I would see it. I really like her, and I don't want to like her, but I really do.
But they shouldn't be Laverne and Shirley. That would be crazy. I don't see that working at all. Who would be Carmine Ragusa?
Hiddleston?
Tom Hiddleston would be the big ragu. I would love that. All right, we'll take a break. We've got news, and then we have a lot more, including, ladies and gentlemen, a former boy genius joins us after the news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Veronica, thanks. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You can call in at 312-981-7200 or text us at the same number. Sometimes we will throw the word genius around.
even when it's not accurate, we will call somebody a genius.
Only when I'm at the Apple store.
Then you can use the word genius. Greg Smith is a verified, certified, 100% true genius, a boy genius. He sailed through most of his elementary school in just a single year. When he was 7, he was in high school. When he was 10, he was enrolled in college and studying advanced level physics, French, and calculus. But how is he doing today at the age of 26?
Oh, comment allez-vous?
Let's all look at you, showing off. Greg, how are you?
Bonjour, Greg.
Very good. How are you?
Fine. Let's start at the very beginning. When did you realize, or people around you realize, that you had genius tendencies?
Well, I don't know about that. When I was very young, my parents really throughout my whole life like instilled in me desire to learn and really encouraged anything that I was interested in academically. I personally didn't notice anything particular. I think my parents noticed when I was pretty young. There were some differences between how I was growing up and how other kids my own age were developing. I probably noticed when I was starting in elementary school and I was doing different things than most kids.
What were you doing different from the other kids? Like, while they were eating paste, what were you doing?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I may have eaten some paste too. But you knew
the chemical compound of
right.
the paste.
Right. I loved Jules Verne as a kid, so I was reading books like Journey to the Center of the Earth and Around the World in 80 Days when I was very young. And things along those lines. Had a love of math from a very, very young age and science. And, you know, I was building molecules with my dad as a kid. My dad studied microbiology, so was always excited about anything science.
So this isn't just, this is obviously a gene that comes from at least your dad and probably both your parents. They're both pretty smart people too, huh?
Yeah, my parents are they're both very smart. My mom was a dance teacher for most of, before I was born and through a lot of my childhood. So I'm very creative and very intelligent. My dad was in the sciences and both very intelligent. I mean, I don't know anything else about genetics-wise how that would necessarily be. But at the very least, they gave me, it was always an environment that was very much supporting learning and encouraging learning. And they tried so hard whenever I was interested in something. They would find books on the subject. They would take me to museums. They would really try to support and promote and encourage that kind of the desire to learn.
You know, that is what you do as a parent. You try to do fun things with your kid, but also help to escalate their learning process. My oldest son, Michael, loved King Tut. He was obsessed with King Tut.
Yeah.
So we took him to the Field Museum to see the Tutankhamun thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what parents do. I mean, because
right.
that just makes learning fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, anything that turns something that would be this boring, dull affair, like reading textbooks into something that's interactive and gets kids excited about it. It was wonderful for me. I thoroughly, it made like learning new things and discovering new things always exciting and always, I don't know, just a fun thing to do each day.
But then how did they keep up with you, Greg? If you were learning that rapidly, were you ever bored in school? Like especially early on kindergarten, first grade, when they didn't realize we got to keep promoting Greg just to keep him in pace. Were you bored a little bit?
Yes. I mean, I enjoyed going to school. I had lots of friends in school. It was a fun environment for me, regardless of academics. A lot of the time academically, I was bored as a child. And it was tough to find a school that would really promote and encourage me to keep learning. The public schools I was in initially were very much against the idea of really pushing me into different fields or letting me skip grades or something along those lines. And so we ended up moving to Florida actually to find a school that would really be open to the idea of me giving me the opportunity to learn what I was interested in learning. And
do you know what kid would have given anything possible to be at a school like that?
Yeah.
I mean, just whatever you're into, we'll keep it moving along, but whatever you want, you can. What a great school that was.
Well, it was, I mean, they still had their curriculum, different things. I think it was, they did encourage different interests of mine, but also it was just at the bare minimum, if I was not to hold me to whatever was required of that year's classes. Like if I completed the coursework for a particular year, particular class, they'd let me go into the next class.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up being able to go through all those grades.
But then, Greg, if you're 10 in college, where most people are 19 and 20 and 21, how are you fitting in socially? Was
that working
against you?
Yeah, how do you get a roommate?
Yeah, that'd be rough.
I was lucky. It depends on your definition or interbelief of luck. I lived at home through undergrad.
You did.
Which helps.
Bill, what parent is going to let a 10-year-old go live in the dorms?
Yeah, I guess so.
It would be a little strange.
Right.
So despite that, I mean, I was mostly around college during classes and afterward working on things with my classmates. But I still had a lot of friends there. I think once people realized I was just a normal person, it was perfectly wonderful.
Right.
Did people tease you? Because I know that's really ridiculous when you hear it, but when someone's different, that's how they get teased. And a lot of times kids hide their smartness because they don't think it's cool to be smart.
Sure. For me, not so much. I was pretty lucky that I had a really good group of people around me. And, I mean, there would be maybe occasional things, but honestly, nothing that stands out. Really, people were very supportive and, it was generally a lot of fun.
We're talking with Greg Smith. I hate to say former boy genius because you sound very smart to me today, so I don't want to throw the former on there. Were colleges recruiting you very early on, Greg? They must have been.
I think a lot of people were skeptical. There were some colleges that definitely showed interest. I was very lucky that there's a school, Randolph Macon College in Virginia, that I ended up going to, that was very much excited about me going there and the possibilities of it. There was some interest from other schools. I think a lot of people were skeptical of the concept of this random kid from Florida who was skipping grades, and I don't know if they necessarily bought it.
Yeah.
I was lucky there was interest, and that there were schools out there, and especially Randolph Macon, where I ended up going to, that was excited about the prospect of me, of keeping me going.
All right. We have certain milestones, like a kid's supposed to roll over at 6 months, walk at a year. How old were you when you started reading? Like a year and a half?
About a year and a half, yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I was being facetious.
That's impressive. Was your mom holding books up to the womb, just going, just do a couple pages, just get a couple pages in?
I vaguely have this distant memory of seeing a book.
You know, a lot of kids think they're smarter than their teachers, but in a lot of cases, you were probably smarter than some of your teachers, right? How did you handle that?
Well, I was lucky. I had really great teachers. And honestly, especially by the time I got to high school, the teachers I had were really phenomenal. And they were very encouraging. And again, because the high school isn't entirely sure about this little kid that was going to classes there, a lot of teachers, to give me a chance to go to class, to take classes, would give up their planning period. So I would sit one-on-one with them and go through material. And I was just so fortunate that so many people along the way took an interest in me and in my development and really encouraged me to keep going. I've had really fantastic teachers.
Greg, I know I've seen too many movies, but in a movie like this where there's a kid who's a genius, there's always some secret government agency that sends a recruiter to kind of win him over to work on a secret plot of some sort. Did that ever happen? Right. Did any secret government agencies try to recruit you?
I don't know if I'd technically be allowed to say. No. I mean, there was interest in nothing like that. No.
Nothing good. I was hoping that'd be the answer. Good.
All right. You never know. You never know. Could have been good.
So you're 26. Go ahead, Greg.
A lot of the work I ended up doing sort of outside of classes ended up being on the more humanitarian level, working with different aid groups and projects. And I was in that field of area. I was very lucky that I ended up meeting incredible people from around the world, Nobel Peace Prize laureates and famous politicians that were in that frame of reference. I was able to meet amazing people and work on amazing projects.
And you've been nominated yourself for that Nobel Prize 5 different times, correct?
Yes.
That's impressive. That's very impressive.
It's an honor. I mean, I took it as people really caring. I mean, the big thing that I wanted to work on as a child was promoting children's rights, and that there are so many children in the world that aren't getting the basic necessities of life, whether it's enough food, water, security, and safety, to education and how important education is, and on from there, and really promoting how important it is that we really focus on the next generation, and both at home and countries abroad where really children are suffering. And I really saw it as an opportunity that the Nobel Nominate Committee was really recognizing how important that was, and that I was really grateful for.
Wow.
Well, you're campaigning for children's rights and safety. What causes? Is there anything you'd like to bring up to us or a website we can go to?
Not a particular website right now. We're really at a pivotal moment in our world, so to speak, where there's so much violence that's taking place and places that until recently we wouldn't really necessarily expect so much violence with all the terrorist attacks that have happened in Europe. And it's alarming to see how people out there are trying to divide our world and bring back sort of prejudice that many people around the world have tried so hard to address and resolve in the last few decades. Really, as the world has become a more global network of people and we've all interacted with each other more and we've really been able to push away, not all of it, but push away some of these prejudices of different communities. And it's really a problem we've seen so many people now trying to bring back those divides.
I know, it's like we're sliding backwards.
Yeah, and that's really scary to me, and it's something that I think we really have to resist and realize that really the whole world over we're all the same people, and we're all dealing with this kind of hate speech and hate rhetoric that's trying to keep us divided. It's important for us to avoid that. And as far as different organizations, there are so many amazing humanitarian organizations out there doing wonderful work. I was very lucky that I got to work with Christian Children's Fund. They're now called Child Fund International a lot as a child. And they do amazing work both here in the U.S. and overseas, whether it's really in 100 different countries. A lot of work with Syrian refugees, which is so important right now.
And
but,
what
I mean,
do you...
Really,
what a great message.
Yes, I'm sorry. We have a crazy phone line where we keep talking over each other. What are you doing now with yourself, Greg, at 26?
I just got my PhD in biology last year.
What took you so long?
Sometimes I felt the same way.
Congrats.
I've been in college for a very long time, and studying a lot of different fields, but I finally got my PhD last year, and now I'm working as a postdoc at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so what I'm really working on now is trying to, I'm a computational biologist is sort of my area of training. So what that is like we're building computer models, writing code that analyzes biological data and makes predictions about all sorts of different
wow.
things. What I'm working on currently is trying to understand how genes interact and building networks of like finding novel interactions between different genes. Our lab's really interesting glioblastoma, a type of brain cancer, and so really trying to understand what are the driving forces of this.
Boy, a job well done from such a young man. And we have a question from one of the listeners. They want to know what level Pokemon Go you're on.
Hmm.
I can't say that I have played.
No, it was kind of a joke.
I'm so proud of you for not.
I know people that are obsessed with it, but I can't say that I have.
Greg, is there one non-geniusy thing that you do, though? You're obviously a genius, but is there one thing that is so not genius that you do?
Well, I would argue that there are really smart people that are interested in this, but I mean, I do watch NASCAR a lot.
You do?
And that's generally the exact opposite in most people's mind from academics.
How about Jeff Gordon doing it for Dale Jr.?
You know, Dale Jr. is my favorite NASCAR driver. I was a Dale Sr. fan back from when I was born, basically.
Yeah.
I used to watch NASCAR, and so I've always been an Earnhardt fan. I really appreciate, I mean, it's concussions are scary.
Yeah.
And I hope Dale Jr. comes back soon.
Yeah.
It's always fun to watch him race. At least, hopefully, in time for Talladega.
Absolutely. God, see, now this is something we have in common. Finally.
Greg, you go into a dinner party, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. is at one table and Stephen Hawking's at another. Which table do you sit at?
Oh, that, now you're just being cruel.
Ask him to join you at your table, don't
yes.
you?
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Well, we're so thrilled to finally talk to you. And boy, what a life you've already led, and you're just 26 years old. I can't wait to see what you have in the future. But keep up the great work. It's really inspiring to see what you've done. It really is.
Thank you.
Nice to meet
you.
Thanks
for having me on.
Absolutely, Greg. That's Greg Smith. Very, very smart man.
I love the NASCAR because the look on your face was priceless.
I did not see that coming. I did not see it coming. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Do it all.
Imagine this kid, Greg Smith. He's 1 year old, one and a half, and he's already reading.
1 year.
He's 1 year, and he's reading. 1 year, and he's reading a book.
All right, tell me what you just told me off the air. How old were you when you read a book?
I could read when I was three.
You know, you bring all these things up. Did you skip first grade or kindergarten?
I skipped kindergarten. I started first grade when I was four.
Weren't potty trained?
No, I was.
You're ambidextrous, aren't you?
I am also ambidextrous, but there was a test, the Iowa Basic Skills Test.
I
missed one on the whole test, which is not bad. So they said they wanted to move me ahead two grades, and my parents said, no, let's just do one grade. So I started out first grade when I was 4 years old. I was the youngest one in the class.
That explains a lot to me.
When I told my wife that story when we first met, she said, and I quote, "What happened to you?" And then years later, when we had children and I told them that story, they both in unison said, "What happened to you?"
But see, that's why socially you're a little behind the times.
I'm a year behind.
But that explains everything to me.
Because I was advanced in school and it messed me up. I'm 1 year behind now.
It did. You know, you're a genius.
Yes.
But you never had nap time.
I did never have nap time.
You never had your kindergarten teacher, such as mine, Mrs. Eggleston, pull out a loose tooth?
That didn't happen. I missed kindergarten.
That explains so
I know.
Much to me.
I should go back and take it and even my life out.
My God, if that is not a movie, why don't you write a screenplay?
I think there's already been movies like that, hasn't there?
Well, kind of. But
yeah. God, didn't Adam Sandler make two or three movies where he had to go back to school for some weird reason?
Yeah, but not kindergarten.
No.
Oh, my God, you could just pull out your little mat and take a nap?
I wouldn't mind that. That would be all right.
That would be nice.
All right. We'll take a quick break. I'm going to take a nap, and then we'll do the more show.
I'm going to look up your skirt.
No, I don't care. I'm not afraid. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Veronica. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. We're on WGN, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to chat with us.
Feel the burn, Bill.
Feel the burn, Wendy.
And then go see a doctor.
He spoke last night, and he's giving his support to Hillary Clinton, which really didn't surprise too many people.
No, but if you put this race forward and you really thought you had the answer,
yes,
wouldn't it be hard to throw your support to your foe?
Your opponent?
Your foe, your enemy.
Well,
your challenger.
Right. So was she? Yeah, she would probably be. I don't know that they're enemies. I would probably put them more as challengers or opponents. And she did better, obviously. So the common belief is, and I'm in that same camp, is that somebody sat down with Bernie Sanders and said, "We really could use your support, and in exchange for your support, we are willing to offer you this
money."
It would probably not be money. It would probably be a cabinet position or a really cool BMX bike. I'm not sure which. But you could certainly see. I mean, that's the way it's worked in the past with the people who haven't won, who the party feels would be, it'd be advantageous to have them
promote and endorse their candidate, they give them a cabinet position of some sort. They find a job for them.
Tell Ted Cruz that.
Ted Cruz may not be exactly the best example.
I just think it would be hard. And I know that Donald Trump was tweeting as the DNC was going on last night. And he said that in a nutshell, like, Bernie, you know, how could you throw your support her way? Why would you give up like that? What a waste of time and money.
Well, he used Bernie Sanders at least once and maybe two or three times during the convention. He would say things about poor Bernie Sanders, never stood a chance. He was saying that kind of thing. Turned out to be true that the party themselves had already opted for Hillary Clinton. So although Trump isn't always right, he was right that time about poor Bernie. But a lot of the supporters that were there last night were none too pleased when speakers like Sarah Silverman and then later Bernie Sanders himself suggested that if you were a supporter of his, you switch over to Hillary Clinton. You definitely heard some opposition.
What did you think about Sarah Silverman?
I thought she was fine, but everything I read afterwards, I was on a couple of websites that kind of blasted her, saying that she really did not do well. I thought she had her ups and downs, and she was one of the people that they made extend their time. They needed her to stretch time a little bit. So I think it's very possible she ran out of her regular speech and had to vamp a little, and maybe that worked against her. But I thought she was all right. What'd you think?
I thought she did a really good job, but I have mixed emotions on her. Sometimes I find her to be amazing and I love her, and other times she annoys me.
Oh.
I don't know
what's
why.
What's it based on? You don't know what it's based on?
I don't know, and I've talked to a lot of people who feel that same way. It's like sometimes big fans, sometimes not into her at all. But I thought she did a really good job.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama did an amazing job, and it was cute that, you know, of course he has to do this, but POTUS then tweeted something like, yes, as a job well done. So proud of her. I love you, Michelle.
Oh.
But she did a great job.
Yeah. Now, did you hear people say, and they did the same thing on the Republican side, when Ivanka Trump spoke, you heard a lot of, well, you know, she should be running for office. She's that. There's your future is right there. So they did that last night again with Michelle Obama. But that always falls under the guise of, when a bat boy picks up a ball and makes a long throw and people in the audience go, you sign him up. That guy should be a baseball player. Just because somebody goes on stage and presents themselves well and makes a nice speech doesn't mean that they should hold public office.
I know, but that's what I thought about Cory Booker when I heard him speak. I'm like, why didn't Hillary pick him as her
running? He was on, from several sources, he was on a list of very strong possibilities. And he definitely has his pluses. You know, he's a good guy. And I don't know if you'll remember this, but I told you a long time ago, and everybody laughed, that Al Franken is probably under consideration. And yesterday when he was speaking, they did that little fun facts crawl, and it said that he was on the list also. And he was, you know.
That would have been a terrible choice.
Because why? Why do you think?
Because
hard to take him seriously?
Yes.
Except he's been... They said after his speech, and I've already heard this, but it was reiterated last night, that even though Al Franken's background is comedy, for people who don't know, before he went into politics, he was a writer for Saturday Night Live and other things, that he's been very serious as in terms of being a politician, that it's not the old Al Franken.
I know, but I can't take
you
him
saw
seriously.
It last night.
Yeah.
He kind of reverted to the old Al Franken.
Which I didn't like either, the whole just Trump bashing. To me,
was a bit of that.
Not the place. I mean, I guess it was the place, but I just thought that was cheap.
It was, and yet overall, the tone of it was nowhere near as angry or as scary. And by scary, I mean you're seeing on the Republican side, and everybody who's a political strategist is saying the same thing. What the Republicans are doing and need to do is base their campaign on fear, you know, and you're seeing a lot more of that on the Republican side than on the Democratic side so far.
And Senator Cory Booker, Democrat from New Jersey, was talking about that too in a nice and prideful way by saying we're not going to be led by fear.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know. I guess this morning Donald Trump tweeted, "If Cory Booker is the future of the Democratic Party, they have no future."
Hmm.
I know more about Cory than he knows about himself. So on CNN, the hosts of New Day, that show, they were wondering what was going on with that. What info does Trump have on Cory Booker? And Booker initially deflected, insisting that he loves Trump and his family, saying he will not answer his hate with hate. Pressed on what Trump supposedly knows about Booker, the senator said he doesn't care and that Republican presidential nominee just wants us to be speculating.
But he's done that. Trump has pulled that before.
You're right.
He did it with the Ricketts family, with the owners of the Cubs.
It comes out. I forgot.
So that's an arrow that he goes to every once in a while. I don't know if it's always effective, but it makes everybody go, uh-oh, what's this all about?
And then, you know, he was pressed a little harder. But when you read that tweet, what else can that mean? I know Cory Booker better than he knows himself. What is that supposed to mean to you? Booker says that's what he wants. He wants us to be speculating. Ooh, it sounds so sinister.
Right.
And he said, he went on to say, I don't care. I love you, Donald. I pray for you. I hope that you find some kindness in your heart, that you're not going to be somebody that spews out insults to your political opposition, that you're going to start finding some ways to love.
Oh.
Because that was Cory Booker's whole thing was love Trump's hate.
Yeah.
I love that.
It is kind of fun. I mean, I know that I'm not the first person to think of this, but it's funny that the name is Trump, because we all know what Trump means.
A Trump card,
but it's also the fact that Mike Pence's name is Pence, because Pence is the root of pensive, and he seems to be fairly pensive at times. So the names are accurate sometimes, you know?
I'll tell you, though, the vice presidential debate is not going to be very exciting.
I don't think so either.
And quite honestly,
if Hillary does
win, that's not going to be really exciting between the two of them either. Tim Kaine and Hillary Clinton. It's not going to be a real exciting dinner party.
Maybe not.
Although Bill Clinton will be there,
he juices things up a little, doesn't he? All right, we'll take a quick break. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 is our phone line and our text line. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Love Trump's hate, dude.
That's true.
We were talking about the DNC.
I like to think that's true.
From last night, and I had
the Run DNC. That's how they could young it up a little bit. Call it the Run DNC.
You know, Michelle Obama is one of the people who says street. Remember I said I have an issue with people all of a sudden putting like an SH for just an S in front of words that have ST? She said street.
Did she say that last night? I didn't hear that.
That drives me
nuts. How about
nuts.
That?
It's a pet peeve of mine.
Yep.
I was saying how I love Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, but someone said Hillary couldn't have chosen Cory Booker because the signs would have said Clinton, Booker.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. And I need to backtrack really quickly. I was talking about how when people got to see Michelle Obama speak yesterday, they're like, well, that she should be running. I would vote for that.
I said that.
All right. But a lot of people have said that. And I was thinking, well, that's not how it works. Just because you go up there, just because you're the president's wife, you can't automatically be the president yourself. But I guess Hillary Clinton at some point was the president's wife, wasn't she?
That same thought process went through my mind because it's like, oh, you know, too bad Barack was president first because I would love her. Well, wait, why can't she do it too?
Think about how weird it would be. Like, the odds of you being the president of the United States are slim at best, and yet Chelsea Clinton, if Hillary Clinton is elected president, would have two parents that were president of the United States. That's crazy.
One and only. And who knows? She can grow up and be the president now, too.
I swear, people have said that. There's people who, like, anytime anybody just goes up and speaks now and does well, somebody looks at somebody else and goes, that's the president of the future. They did it with Ivanka Trump the other night. All she did was bring her dad up and talk about weird stuff. That was it. And people are like, she should be running.
Do you see how desperate we are?
Anybody.
Anybody who can throw together a sentence and speak eloquently and say something that we want to hear.
I know.
Put them on the ballot.
Yep.
That's how desperate we have
become. I know.
Are you moving anywhere?
No. I know it's fashionable now to say if Donald Trump is the president, or I've heard people say if Hillary Clinton is president, that they will be on the first plane to Canada.
Nobody has ever moved after saying that.
I would love to see statistics of people that have left the country after their candidate didn't win the presidency. I would say it's somewhere around 0 to 1.
Yes, I agree with you. So don't even waste your breath.
I don't know why that becomes a thing all the time.
Well, I'm moving.
Yeah.
You know what, though? That has become part of the vernacular, because the other day I said, if I come home and this laundry is not done, I am moving.
I'm moving. But that's a valid reason for leaving the country. If it's something like that, I could see you, you know.
I didn't mean the country.
You're just leaving. All right. That's a lot better, I guess.
Get a little apartment somewhere.
Bill Clinton is scheduled to speak tomorrow night. Is that correct? When is he speaking? Ooh. Is it tonight or tomorrow?
God, I don't know. I don't know who's on tap for tonight. Maybe we should take a break and listen to the news, and maybe we can find out
what the list is for tonight. All right. Stick around. We have more coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. We had mentioned if anybody says they're moving, if so-and-so wins the election, and Sally claims that a friend moved somewhere. What's your story, Sally? We have about 30 seconds.
Hey, Wendy. When George W. was elected, and I put elected in quotes, my friends sold everything. They sold their home, and they moved to Costa Rica, and
wow.
They still live there today.
Wow.
And they teach English, and they have a farm, and they have cows, and they're very happy there.
They were that adamant about him being president that they picked up and moved to Costa Rica.
Yeah, they have a room for us, too, if Trump is elected.
That's hysterical.
Well, can I stay a couple of weeks, maybe, Sally?
Yeah, absolutely. You'd love it.
Oh, okay. Man, that's great. Thanks, Sally. Take care.
I love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. You, too.
Thank you. And convention coverage tonight in Philadelphia. Here's what's on tap.
What's the lineup for tonight?
The theme of the day, a lifetime of fighting for children and families. So they have scheduled the mothers who have lost their children to gun violence. They will be speaking. Mothers of Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, and Tamir Rice.
Hmm.
That should be...
That's emotional.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I'm going to be crying again.
Yeah.
I'm like all the people I've made fun of.
Yeah.
And then I'm really going to be crying when the main event, former President Bill Clinton and his saxophone.
How you doing?
Pretty good, Bill.
Will
thanks.
He open or close with that? We'll find out.
I think he's always open.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right, news time right now. This is sponsored by CME Group. Here is Veronica Carter.
Thanks, Veronica. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Again, I remind you, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we're at 312-981-7200. You can reach us that way. From time to time, Wendy, I found this a while ago. These are things that everyone thought was true, but it turns out that they are not true. These are misconceptions. There's a website called informationisbeautiful.net. That would be the way to say it, right?
Yeah.
And the people who run that website have put these out. They put them out frequently, and they're fascinating to me because these are things that many of us would bet money on and go, well, I've heard this my whole life. It's got to be true, but it's not. For instance, let's say you're walking through a forest preserve and you see a baby bird on the ground that's been abandoned by its mom, and you might have the propensity to pick that baby bird up, but you wouldn't because why?
Well, they tell you that the human scent on a baby, the mother will not take care of it.
Right.
And this came up with a baby squirrel or rabbit before, and someone corrected us and says that that is true.
With a squirrel or a rabbit that it's true?
And a bird. But now, I just think it may vary from animal to animal, because as a young child,
yeah.
I would frequently find birds that had fallen out of the nest.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put them in a shoebox. And I would get an
take them to Kinney's. I'd like to return these bird shoes, please. They don't fit me. I'm a size 2, and
no.
They're a size 2.5.
I wanted to save them before a cat got them.
Oh,
something.
That's very noble of you.
So I would put them in a shoebox, and I would feed them with an eyedropper, and I'd warm milk, and I think I put like honey in it or
yeah?
something.
Oh, that's
and I
nice.
Would just feed them. Same with the baby bunnies. I would do that.
Yeah. You're like a modern day Saint Francis.
I think so.
You are.
I think I was, or like Florence Nightingale for
yeah.
pets.
Yeah, like that.
But I did that all the time, and I don't know. Ooh, I just broke a pen on myself.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, we didn't put them back in the nest. So last time this came up, somebody said, "Please, please, please, don't touch them. Baby bunnies in the yard, leave them alone.
Right.
Don't get the human scent on them." But now it's being disproved?
Here's what they say over at informationisbeautiful.net. They say, there's no truth to this. Most birds have a very limited sense of smell, so they will not abandon their baby birds who, quote-unquote, smell of humans. So you can touch all the baby birds you want.
All right, well,
have at it.
Allegedly true with birds. I will check on the rabbits before
right.
we get out of here.
All right.
Because I felt bad. Somebody said, no, don't tell people to do that.
What about this? We've heard this our entire lives. Alcohol will kill your brain cells. Is that true or not true?
I can still talk.
Even actually, your name is cited in the example. They actually, there's a picture of you and it says your name. It says, even in heavy users and alcoholics, brain cells are never killed. They are only damaged, which is just as bad, isn't it? I think that's almost as bad.
Depends.
I mean, well, yeah. What about this? Have you ever seen this in a movie? Somebody is missing in the movie and they want to file a report, but then the people at the agency go, well, you got to wait 24 hours before you file a missing persons report. It says here, police do not require a 24-hour waiting period before accepting any missing persons reports.
I don't know if that's true.
You don't think?
I think a certain time has to pass.
But what would the time be? How would they...
Well, if somebody was 15 minutes late...
Yeah, they wouldn't go out looking for
right.
them after 15 minutes. But what if it was a circumstance, like let's say it was an older person and they had Alzheimer's or something, and you go, yeah, he's always right here and now he's not here. You got to go out and find him. They would jump on that, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think this is wrong.
All
because
right.
when people, you know, when they do a well-being check,
yeah.
I thought it was 10 hours, but I don't know if it's 24, but...
That seems like a long time to wait with a potential... What if your kid wasn't around for a half a day or something?
I think kids,
you know... The police would help you out.
That's a different story, but an adult...
Yeah.
I don't have time to research every one of these you've said, but
I'm
I have
a lot
to look
at
into
you.
That.
I know. What about this? On your tongue, there are different sections that determine various
Salty,
tastes.
Sour,
right? You've
sweet,
heard that,
yeah.
right? That your taste buds are such where it's grouped and certain parts of your tongue lend themselves. Well, here's what it says. There are not different sections of your tongue for each taste. Bitter, sour, salty, sweet, and savory. That's a myth. You could taste like a lemon, like if you squeezed a lemon, which would be sour, on the front part of your tongue or the back part or whatever part, you'd still get that same kind of a soury effect.
A soury effect?
A soury effect. That's what it's called in science.
All right. By the way, if you do touch a baby bird, the parent will still take care of it.
Right.
But what they don't like is if their nest is disheveled. They don't like something that looks messy, that looks like it's been tampered with.
Right.
Because then they think there's going to be an enemy in the nest.
Oh,
but wild rabbits are exception to this rule. These animals seem to be the most sensitive to human and other smells. They're a flighty, high-stress species. Wild rabbits will sometimes abandon their nest when it's been disturbed, as with a lawnmower, or if a cat gets into it, or with a human touch. So baby rabbits, no. Baby birds, yes.
But rabbits oftentimes will build their nest right in the middle of your yard where a lawnmower is going to be. I mean, I know they don't know your mowing schedule.
They do. They make... nests in the center of our yard.
Right.
And
how do they not? They should know somehow.
We have a big dog who's in the yard all the time. They
yeah.
should know.
Right.
Don't they get, if they're so sensitive to smell, can't they smell that a dog has.
You would imagine.
Marked
has used
the lawn?
That area. Yeah.
All right. I'm glad I don't have to do the research. Hi, Joe.
Hey. Hi, Wendy. Listen, when, you know, I was in kindergarten and I went missing from the babysitter's house. I had run away, went to my house, which was across the street. And they, within, you know, an hour or two of me being gone, they had the police out looking for me. They had my mom home from work. They had the principal of the school looking for me. And so, yeah, they absolutely do, you know, it may not be a missing persons report. I don't know if that was ever filed, but the police will react right away. And this is back in the early 70s.
Yeah, what?
So,
what
yeah, all right. It does happen.
I can't imagine a police force if you'd call them with something like that.
Well, a kid is different than my husband, you know, he hasn't been home in 4 hours,
right,
you know?
Right.
Joe, why did you leave the babysitter? Can you talk about that?
I really don't know why. I remember telling her daughter, don't tell anybody where I am. Then again, she was only 2 years old and really couldn't talk anyways.
Oh.
So
that was a good
person.
And
I ran across the street, and I knew how to open the bottles of beer for my parents. And so I drank two bottles of beer and ate an entire bag of cookies, chocolate chip cookies that my mom had baked. So I was...
How old were you?
I was numb. I was about 5 years old, about 4 years old, 5 years old.
It's quite a day.
I would have called the cops just to lock you up.
Not much has changed. I'll find
no.
Well, enjoy your cookies and beer tonight. Thank you for calling.
What about this one, Wendy?
Can I just talk to Mark, too?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just to
absolutely.
Confirm. What, Mark, do you have any more information on this about the time limit?
Hey, Wendy, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, just to let you know, the police, they actually do not have any time limit. Actually, in fact, if they're under 2 years old, they have to report within 2 hours. And if they're nine and under, they're called the tender age, and it gets handled with a little bit more care. And if they're any type of senior with any type of disability, they actually will enact what they call plans and formulate officers to go out and search.
Okay, what about just an adult who's missing? Is there a 20, like when Sinead O'Connor was missing?
Right.
Didn't it seem like after 24 hours they reported her missing?
No, unfortunately for the police, they if they're missing 5 minutes, like, hey, I went to go get milk and you didn't come home, you can technically file a missing persons report and police will have to fill out the report and go look for them.
Are you a police officer?
Yes, I am.
Ah.
Thank you for your service, and it's a tough time to be a police officer right now. Good luck to you. Thanks for
Thank
everything
you,
you do.
Thanks, Mark.
No problem.
We appreciate
All right, guys,
it.
Take care.
You too. All right, I have more of these. Let's take a quick break, and then more things that you thought you knew, but guess what? You're wrong. You didn't know them. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. From time to time, we do a segment called Everything You Know Is Wrong. These are things you've heard your entire life. And it turns out that whoever told them to you was lying to you. I don't know what was behind those lies, but they were wrong, and now you're wrong. Sounds like Sean Hannity. You're wrong. Everyone's wrong. Have you heard this? I'm sure you've heard this. We humans only use 10% of our brain.
I don't use that much.
I don't use anywhere near that much. It says the proportion of your brain firing at any one time is ultimately different. Every region is used. Every region of your brain is used almost every day.
The Antarctica part is working right now.
That part, why wouldn't you use that part? But the fallacy that we only use 10% of our brain.
Not true.
Completely wrong. You're using different parts of your brain at different times all the time. It says, unless you're in radio, then you're only using about 3% of your brain. What are, and it's not the rock group, I want to get this out right now, but what is an Iron Maiden? What would an Iron Maiden be used for?
Isn't that, it's one of two things.
What could it possibly be?
They're two very different things, and one's going to make me feel foolish.
Come on, you can do this. An Iron Maiden.
Like
if they had one at a museum, they'd go, over here we have the Iron Maidens. What were they used for?
Isn't it the stocks and bonds?
Kind of, yeah. They were used
like chains
for
and,
torture device,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Iron
Gillette
Maidens.
Told me that.
He was lying to you. Iron Maidens, it says here, were never used as medieval torture devices. They were made in the 18th century as fakes created for sensational circuses. So they would create them for like circus sideshows and they would say to people, these are old Iron Maidens that they used to use years and years ago to torture people, but they never did. It was just a prop.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. You know, in the wintertime, they tell you always put on a hat because why? Why would you put on a hat in the winter?
Because most of your body heat is lost through your head.
That's what they say, but they would be wrong.
That's why you should wear pants.
You should always wear pants. So many reasons for that. It says only in infants is heat lost through your head. Unless the head is the only uncovered part of your body.
Well, then, yeah. Unless the head is the only uncovered part of the body. So that's why you should cover your head.
I guess in the dead of winter, every part of your body would be covered. You'd have on stuff to cover yourself.
And your goulashes.
Except your face. A lot of people have their face out. Put your face away, I always say to people. Don't just be walking around with your face out.
For all to see.
Should you walk? Let's say someone in your family, Wendy, was sleepwalking. Would you wake that person?
Yes.
Oh, are you sure?
They say you're not supposed to, but yes.
It says here, should we wake sleepwalkers? They will be really confused, but it is absolutely okay.
Yeah.
They are more likely to hurt themselves if they are not awoken.
Right. I have two sleepwalkers out of the four
of
us.
Who sleepwalks?
Jim and Dylan.
What's the farthest they've ever walked?
Just down the hall.
Just down the hall in the house? They've never left the house, right?
No, not that I'm aware of.
When I was a kid, we had a burglar alarm on our house because my family was afraid someone would try to steal me. So we
because you were a genius.
Yeah, I was
a boy genius.
A boy ambidextrous genius. And they thought somebody's going to steal him and make $1 million. So we better put a burglar alarm on the house. And one night, the burglar alarms all went off and my parents called the police because they were sure somebody was trying to steal me. And as it turns out, I was sleepwalking and I walked down the stairs to the front hall, opened the door and was trying to leave, but we had a deadbolt on the door, so I couldn't leave. But how about that? I could have escaped.
They weren't scared of burglars. They were scared of someone taking you.
I'm pretty sure that's why, yeah.
What about your brother?
They weren't as concerned. They left his windows open.
Your mom would be like, take this one,
right.
But not my boy ambidextrous genius.
Right. That's kind of word for word of what they said. I don't know why that's funny.
So funny.
Yes or no, bananas grow on trees. True or false? Will you get a banana off of a tree?
It's a tree?
Bush? Technically, no. It says bananas actually grow on massive herbs that resemble trees, but they're not actually trees.
It's pronounced herb.
Yeah.
That's not an herb. It's a banana tree.
We call them banana trees, but they are not
because they're a tree. Because they're a tree with bananas.
Right, right. And we ran out of stuff to do, so we just went, well, it's a banana tree, so let's just call it that. But technically, it is not. But I'll give you that one.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, come tally me bananas.
Right, 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 right. Are bats blind?
That's what we've been led to
believe.
Blind
as a bat. You hear the phrase, blind as a bat. So bats have to be blind, right?
And they use the shrieking in the sonar to get where they
right.
need
oh.
to be.
Yes,
they're
true.
Just bad. They don't have. They should get some bifocals.
It's.
They're not blind.
They're not blind.
But they don't have real great vision.
It says not only can bats see, but they also use echolocation. Do you know what that is? Because I do. Echolocation. It's kind of what you said. They emit a noise.
They screech.
But then the sound bounces back,
yeah. They can tell how far they
That's
are.
It. That's
Isn't
it exactly.
Isn't that kind of radar?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. That one.
Echolocation.
Now, this one I heard once in my life. Tell me if you think this is real or not. That goldfish only have a 3-second memory.
I have never heard that before.
I heard
ever.
That.
And I've had goldfish my whole life.
When you were a Girl Scout, didn't you guys sit around a campfire and tell goldfish stories?
I was not a Girl Scout. I was a campfire girl, which oddly enough, I should have been sitting around
You
the
would
campfire.
Have thought, yeah. It says, while not the smartest of creatures, goldfish boast a memory span of 3 months. How would they know that? It's impossible. How in the world would they figure that out?
One goldfish said to the other goldfish,
there's no way to possibly know that.
Do you remember 3 months and one day ago?
Right.
And he said, no.
Here's what happens. This guy walks up to him. Mike walks up to him. And then he walks away for 3 months. And then 3 months later, he comes back. And the goldfish are like, it's Mike. Remember the guy from 3 months ago? There he is again.
But the 3 months and one day, they wouldn't recognize
right.
Mike.
Who is that guy?
I didn't think goldfish were very smart because they allow themselves to be put into little bowls and have ping pong balls
That's
thrown
true, too.
At them.
Yeah.
That's how I got every one of my goldfish.
At a fair?
At the fun fair at school.
County fair or something?
Just at our school.
Oh, yeah. This is what I bet your mom told you at some point, and your mom was lying to you. I'll prove it right now.
All right.
Do you ever want to go and just chew gum and fall asleep? And then what would your mom say? You can't fall asleep with gum.
It'll end up in your hair.
Not because of your hair, but the myth that my parents always told me was it would take years and years and years for that to get out of your system. If you swallow your gum...
you're gonna, it's gonna be in your throat forever.
Not in your throat, because you wouldn't be able
esophagus.
To in your stomach.
In your yeah.
In your gut? What
in
are you
your
gonna
gut.
Say?
It says here the myth that it takes seven years to digest gum.
I've heard that.
Is incorrect. Yeah, seven, they always say seven years. It says the chewy base of gum is indigestible and it passes straight through you, and then the remainder of the gum is absorbed. So you can swallow all the gum you want.
The great thing about gum is you can...
What?
I shouldn't...
What?
You can blow a bubble going in or going
all
out.
Right. I'm going to turn the show around. Do you want me to do that? I'll turn the show around. All right. We must stop now, kids. We'll find out in just a little bit what is going on at the National Convention of the Democrats. Ro is there. I don't know that Anna is yet. Is she? Is she there
she
tomorrow?
She arrives Wednesday.
She
Wednesday's
will be
there. Ladies' night, because that's
when is that right?
Andrea yeah. and Anna show up.
Right. All drinks are half off on Wednesday for the Democrats. So stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.